See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
I've got a death curse!
It was a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
Sometimes. What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Welcome to the CineScare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And with us, as always, is the super fan, Mr. Mark Biscotti.
Hi.
What the hell was that?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm here.
Oh, that's funny.
For those of you who aren't in our studio in lovely downtown Burbank, you wouldn't know that Mark looks really unenthusiastic about tonight's show.
I know. I've never seen him so unenthused by something, especially something that is as exciting as this.
You're talking about movies with the only people on earth that will tolerate you. This should be fun.
Yeah.
I'm all good, guys. I don't know.
Mark looks nervous. Are you nervous about your picks?
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. Well,
no, I mean, I'm not nervous about my picks. I love my picks.
There's no wrong answers.
Yeah, there's no wrong answers. These are, I mean, I don't know. I need a boost or something. I don't know. I'm trying to wake up.
Well, for those of you who don't know, this is episode 99 of
Holy
the CineScare Horror Podcast. And, oh, let me tell you. We've got a good one for you. So as we mentioned last week, we have each decided what we're going to do is talk about our top 10 non-horror films. And again, like we had said a couple weeks ago, we're not going to be talking about anything new this episode just because we just filmed or recorded our last episode, which was episode 97. And it's very hard to explain, but we're taking a hiatus. So this one was recorded just a few days after episode 97. But I don't know. Why am I even going into this explanation?
All you really need to know is that we're continuing to entertain you.
That's right.
Without skipping a beat.
Now, we want to take a break over the summer like we did last year, but we are going to make sure that you still have your quota of episodes every 2 weeks. So,
you know, again, I don't think we really need to pull the curtain back. They don't know any better. As far as they know, we're recording every time. So
I want them to appreciate it though, Joe. And also,
I think they do.
I know I do. Yeah. I also, though, I do want them to know why we might not be talking, because there could be like some new movie, you know, coming out this last weekend that, you know, we're not going to talk about or talk about any new releases or any new things that we just saw just because it, you know, we didn't. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah,
but Mark Alien is getting more enthused as I watch him now. His eyes are lighting up. The little naive smile is back.
Yeah, no, I am excited about this episode. It's not, you know, we don't really talk about non-horror films, you know, I mean, this is a horror podcast. So this is going to give the listeners a little insight of, you know, other films that we really enjoy. This is like our top 10 favorite films basically of all time, not including horror. And, you know, I think it's, you know, revealing the curtain, you know, to us. And I think it's kind of fun. And hopefully, you know, the listeners go on the fan page and give us their top 10.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would love. Go ahead, Joe.
I love it when we all climb in on each other at the same time, and then we just all shut up at the same time. I wanted to point out the whole idea behind this.
Joe said that when we were all in Chicago in the apartment together.
Yes. Thank God. The one night Mark did not sleep naked. I wanted to point out that, keep in mind, this isn't like my or our, I should say, top 10 list of the best movies ever. This is just personally, allowing you guys to peer into our soul and what we hold near and dear to our hearts. These are the top 10 movies that I enjoy in chronological order, or numerical order, I guess. But not necessarily what I think are the best 10 movies ever made, non-horror.
Yeah. Right.
So needed to put that clarification statement so that when I say Dumb and Dumber is in my top two, they're going to say, how is that better than, you know, something noteworthy like Godfather?
I did mine a little different just because I made sure I included all my favorite directors in my top 10 because my top four would probably be on my list of the best movies ever made. But beyond that, I would venture to say that my top four movies would probably also be on my list of what I consider the best movies. But after that, I just wanted to make sure it was such a crapshoot because there's so many different movies that I could say this about, but these are all movies that either I loved from the time I was young, or there are movies made by directors that, that are my favorite directors and are also my favorite movies.
And I just want to point out, we only have one rule. Actually, we have two rules. The first rule is it cannot be a horror film.
Right.
And the second rule is no apologies. If Mark has Top Gun and Maverick in there, we got to leave him alone.
Okay, sure. Well, I think we still make fun of him, but.
Oh, yeah, but I wouldn't apologize. If I were Mark, I wouldn't apologize for it.
No, there's no apologies. No.
I think you're going to be kind of surprised with some of my picks, actually.
I don't think you're going to be surprised by any of my picks, actually.
Oh, really?
I think you're all going to say, no, that's exactly what I thought.
My top 10, I picked all the films that I continuously watch. I probably have watched all of them at least 50 times. One film I've seen probably 200 times. And I'm not kidding.
I don't watch any movies except for maybe Halloween that many times. But I will say that all of these movies are movies I've watched many, many times. Yeah.
Yeah. Rewatch. It's same thing with me. Rewatchability is definitely a factor in my top 10 selection.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
So I'm just curious, did anybody else do 11 through 20 like we
normally
do? I did. Yeah.
Okay, I did too. Yes. So we'll read those later.
We could talk about that after. Them. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think my 11 through 20 are probably a little more interesting than my 1 through 10, to be honest with you. But yeah, we can talk about that. Yeah.
Mark, it wasn't part of the assignment. It's just every time we've done the top 10.
I follow the rules.
I know. You don't need it. It's just every time we do a top 10, we inevitably talk about, well, here's some others. So we'll get to that later. And I'm assuming we're going to do the same rules that. Well, then do it while you're waiting. Because we don't do it until after we're done with 1 through 10. I'm assuming we're going to follow the same pattern.
I know, Joe. I've been on the show before.
I'm assuming we're going to follow.
Sometimes I wonder.
I'm assuming someone's going to say their top 10, and if somebody else has that higher on the list, we skip it. Okay. So just like regular last time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I would say so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's have that sound effect, Matt. That whoosh.
Oh, yeah. The whoosh. Let me see.
So we can be serious and get going.
There you go. All right. Hold on.
Episode 99.
Episode 99 of the Cinescare podcast is not horror at all, so I don't know why I'm talking like this. In a world. So who wants to go first? I don't know. Who wants to go first?
I think Mark does.
All right, Mark.
The fuck?
Mark, what is your...
That's what I was waiting for.
Number 10 movie.
My number 10 movie is The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance.
Oh, very nice. Very
1962.
Nice.
Oh, my God. I love Westerns. Westerns are fucking one of my favorite genres. I love Westerns. It's John Ford directed this freaking movie. We got James Stewart and John Wayne, two of my favorite actors. And they're in this film. And they're a little bit older. And they both have a certain dialect when they talk. And I love when Jimmy Stewart talks. He's got his own way of talking. And John Wayne's the same way. You know, it's an American Western near the turn of the 20th century, where a U.S. senator, Rance, played by James Stewart, is attending a funeral of an old dear friend, where he reminisces back 25 years to recall his early days of becoming a lawyer and the difficulty of dealing with an infamous outlaw, Liberty Valance, played by the wonderful and awesome Lee Marvin. This is just a perfect Western for me. It's not a lot of action. It's a lot of talking, but the dialogue is great. There's a restaurant scene where they're making steaks, and these steaks are fucking humongous. It overlaps the plates, and it's real busy, and it's going steak on, and it's just a great film, and it's a great little twist at the end. And John Wayne's so freaking good in this. I love John Wayne so much. And so, yeah, that is my number 10.
All right. Joe, what is your number 10?
My top 10 are so goofy. Okay, my number 10 is 1995's Tommy Boy. I absolutely love this film. Okay. I think it's an all-star cast. Chris Farley, David Spade, Brian Dennehy, Bo Derek, Dan Aykroyd, Rob Lowe, for God's sakes. I probably have seen this film 600 times. I adore it. I always get touched right in the heart after Brian Dennehy dies. Sorry, spoiler alert. And when Tommy Boy is walking down the lane with the Amazing Grace being played by a selection of bagpipes, it's just a tearjerker moment. The movie's hilarious. I quote it constantly.
If you're Irish, you love it.
Yeah, that's a wonderful Irish funeral right there. But it's mm-hmm. such a quotable movie, especially David Spade. He's so snarky in this film, and I love it. But he mixes so well with Tommy Boy, and I think for the two of them, this was lightning in a bottle. I've seen Black Sheep a bunch of times, but it's nowhere near as good as Tommy Boy. So. And again, this is why I said no apologies. That's my number 10, Tommy Boy.
I have a feeling Joe's going to have a lot of comedy in his top 10.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
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 All right. No. Well,
Matt,
no. In that What's case, your number 10? Mine is One-Eyed Jax.
Oh,
this is from 1961, Marlon Brando's first and only directing gig. And he only directed because Stanley Kubrick backed out of it. So this is starring Marlon Brando, Carl Malden, Ben Johnson, Slim Pickens, a cast of great characters. There's some amazing one-liners in this thing, from Big Tub of Guts to You Gobba Spit. To a whole bunch of them that my dad and I used to say these lines all the time to, and we watched this movie. This is one of those that I watched a million times with my dad. It was one of the first movies that he rented. I mean, we had seen it many times before, but when we finally got a VCR sometime in the 80s, this was one of the first movies that we rented, if not the first movie. And and then when I became friends with my best friend in high school, Andy, who Joe knows, he and his dad had the same thing. They both loved this movie. And so all of us would say lines from this movie all the time. But it's a great revenge flick. It's very similar in some ways to Unforgiven, although it's not as dark as Unforgiven, it definitely has a similar vibe to it. And it's kind of a similar storyline, as not really the storyline, but in terms of the relationship between Carl Malden and Marlon Brando, it kind of a similar story. So this is one of my favorite movies, one of my favorite Westerns. And so it's interesting that Mark and I both had a Western at number 10. It's actually not my only Western on my list as well. So, okay. So that's my number 10.
Matt, I gotta be honest. I've never seen One Eyed Jack.
Oh, you gotta rent it. I think it is available. That might be a good thing for us to say too, if these movies are available someplace, but it is available on Amazon Prime and Peacock. So
I'll watch it tonight because I love Westerns, and I had no idea. I thought it was a motorcycle movie.
No, that was Wild One.
Wild Ones.
Yeah. No, One Eyed Jacks is a Western, and it's great. A lot of stories from that I can talk to you about after you watch it, but
yeah,
good movie. So, all right. So now we are on to number 9 for Mark.
I know there's a theme going on. I didn't mean for this to happen, but my number 9, it's A Wonderful Life with James Stewart.
Beautiful.
It's a perfect movie. It's my favorite Christmas movie. I watch it at least twice a year, and I always watch it the day before Christmas Eve, and I just sit down and I just get my popcorn and I just sit and I just reminisce and I just have a little grin on my face watching it because it's just such a feel-good movie. It's a perfect film. I love James Stewart in this. This is him in his prime. You know, just his dialect when he's talking about lassoing the moon, you know, and she throws the brick through the window. It's just it's such a nice feel-good movie at the end. I'm more particularly a fan before he jumps into the river of the film. Not a big fan of, you know, when he's with Clarence and all that, but throughout the whole entire film, I'm just giddy. Love this film. So yeah, that's my number 9. It's A Wonderful Life.
Excellent.
And no more Jamie's Stewart.
Nice. Yeah, obviously that's one of my favorites as well, and it could easily have been on this list for sure.
Wow, I didn't know you liked it that much.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, I watch it every year, and okay. So, Joe, number 9.
Mark, it's funny that you picked your favorite Christmas movie for your number 9 pick, because I did the same thing. My favorite Christmas movie, yippee-ki-yay, motherfuckers, it's 1988's Die Hard. I think it's the first best original action movie. I think it's what it raised the bar. I realized there were plenty of action movies that came before that. However, we had a stream of action films after Die Hard that were just people trying to be Die Hard. And I've probably seen this every Christmas season. I watch it. I consider it a Christmas movie. And I know it's a big argument about whether it is or not. I start watching this thing as of the day after Thanksgiving, and it's just a little tradition of mine. So my number 9 is, like I said, Die Hard, which you can find on Hulu, by the way.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Die Hard's fucking awesome. I can't believe it's not on my list. It actually pains me that it's not on my list. That is a perfect action flick. Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah. It's crazy because I fucking love Die Hard, and I've seen it over 100 times too, and it's not on my list. It's crazy.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm glad it's on yours, Joe.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, my number 9 is Boogie Nights.
This is fuck yes.
Probably the newest.
I think it's
the newest movie on my list. 1997, Paul Thomas Anderson's masterpiece, is, I believe it was his second movie. I absolutely love this movie. I've seen it about a billion times, and I will see it a billion times more. I own it. And It is just so good. It's so well done. It's seamless. And I would argue that all the movies on my list, I'm sure you guys would argue that all the movies on your list are perfect movies, maybe. Or maybe not. I don't know. Maybe just that you find them entertaining.
Perfect to me.
I would say all of the ones. Yeah, perfect to you. All the movies on my list, I would definitely say are perfect movies, and I think this is one. It's got such a great cast: Burt Reynolds, Mark Wahlberg, Julianne Moore, John C. Reilly, Heather Graham, Don Cheadle, Philip Seymour Hoffman, William H. Macy. Like it's got all these people, and aside from Burt Reynolds, all of these people before they were stars. You know, Mark Wahlberg was already a star, but he had never been really a movie star. I think this was really his first major role. Julianne Moore had done some stuff, certainly, but she wasn't a star necessarily yet. Same with John C. Reilly. He had done some character things, but this was his big break. And Heather Graham, all these, such a great movie. And I would put it up there with almost anything. I just think it's terrific. And Paul Thomas Anderson has become one of my favorite directors. There Will Be Blood and pretty much everything he does, I love. I didn't care for The Master that much, but everything else.
I love The Master.
Oh. But everything else he's done, I've just absolutely loved. So anyway, that is my number 9, Boogie Nights. So, Mark.
I just want to say about Boogie Nights, it's got one of the coolest fucking openings, that one shot at the beginning in the nightclub is so fucking masterfully done. And that's just, what a film.
Scene at the drug dealer's house is it's so expertly crafted. I love it, love it, love it.
Yeah, so. Paul Thomas Anderson had the Chinese guy with the firecrackers just light him whenever he wanted to do. So all the reactions from Mark Wahlberg and Reilly, I mean, and the other guy, it was all real reactions.
Yeah.
Just fucking
such a tense scene. And then the slow zoom into, or the slow push in shot to Mark Wahlberg while all that's happening. And you could just see the look on his face, like,
turning and turning. And it's so weird that Mark Wahlberg is basically just shuns this movie now from his, like, he doesn't want to talk about it because he's like a born again Christian or something like that. And I'm just like, you're an idiot. That is your best, and it will be your best film you've ever done.
I'd say it's probably the only thing he's ever done that I liked him in. Like, I think his brother Donnie is a better actor than he is, and I am not a fan of his. I know everybody loved him in that Scorsese movie. I thought he was terrible. I didn't like him in it, but I really like him in this. His personality and demeanor works really well for this movie, but. But I like everything around him and the direction more than him. no.
I loved him in Fear, the movie Fear. I loved him in that. That was great. That's great. I can't wait to put Fear, you know, on the CineScare.
Oh, you've already put Fear on the CineScare.
No, I haven't.
So our next movie.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
So number 8, Mark, is
Point Break, 1991. I fucking love this film. Directed by Catherine Bigelow. It's got Keanu Reeves. It's got Patrick Swayze. It's got the wonderful Gary Busey. You know, you talk. Give me two. I'm so hungry I could eat the acid out of a dead rhino. I should have had you get me two of these things. I mean, I could quote this movie from start to finish. Oh man, it's such a good film. It's a dumb, stupid film, but what Catherine Bigelow does is make it so much fun. It has an awesome action scene when Keanu Reeves chases the dead presidents, you know, right after they rob a bank. It's got a great car chase, great running scene, you know. And Patrick Swayze, you know, shuts the glass screen door, and Keanu Reeves just picks up a potted plant and smashes through it. It's just great action. I love the skydiving in this film made me start skydiving, and it was a passion of mine for a while. And it's just such a great, fun, stupid film. Lori Petty is gorgeous in this. I wanted her to be my girlfriend. That's all I wanted. So yeah, Point Break, 1991. I ain't apologizing. I fucking love it.
And hey, Mark, if you liked Point Break that much, I just got done watching a documentary on Netflix called How to Rob a Bank. And it's, you know, actual guy that was robbing banks in Seattle, but he was strongly influenced by the movie Point Break. That's kind of how he got the ideas to do it. You may like this quite a lot.
Oh, I will like it.
He's kind of like a real life Brody.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Yeah, the surfing's great. Ugh.
All right. So, Joe, what is your number eight?
My number eight is 1983's War Games with Matthew Broderick and Ally Sheedy. I have probably seen this movie more than any other movie I've ever seen in my life. As a matter of fact, I have an odd history with this movie. It was not only the movie that really got me into computers and programming, but this movie was on the day I graduated high school. I came home, turned on TV, just remembered watching this thing from start to finish. Then fast forward to graduating college. We were done with the ceremony and I came back to our house to start cleaning up, turned on the TV just to have something to watch, and War Games happened to be on, which I thought was an odd enough coincidence, until the day I got married. I'm in my hotel room and the priest that was marrying us came in to shoot the shit, and he went over and turned the TV on just because we had time to kill, and I come out of the bathroom and all I see on the TV, War Games. So I have a personal connection with this. I absolutely love the film. I think it's perfect. I can even tell you that when Whopper or Joshua is trying to launch the missiles at the end of the movie, that the code is CPE1704TKS. I couldn't forget that if I tried. I don't know my relatives' names, but I will always remember the code to launch the missiles. So
yeah,
that's it.
Yeah. I loved this when I saw it when I was a kid. Yeah.
I saw it in a movie theater.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah.
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 Good movie.
All right. So that brings us to my Matt. Number eight. Blue Velvet by David Lynch. This Shocker. When I saw this in the, when
Big
I saw
surprise.
This, yeah. When I saw this in the 1980s, this changed my life. Like it opened my mind to a whole different kind of filmmaking, a whole different style of filmmaking. And I never looked back. This was one that a lot of these movies were movies that I rented with Andy, my friend Andy, over and over. And my dad actually really liked this movie too, which was very strange. I did not think it would be something he would like, but it's one that Andy and I quote over and over. We still do. What kind of beer do you like? Heineken. Fuck that shit. Pabst Blue Ribbon. We say that over and over and over all the time. His wife, it drives her crazy. So yeah, that's my, and again, it's David Lynch, one of my favorite directors, and an amazing performance by Isabella Rossellini, Kyle MacLachlan, Dennis Hopper in a huge comeback for him, Laura Dern, it's Dean Stockwell, it's just fantastic. So that is my number eight. So, Mark.
Yo.
Bring us down to number seven.
My number seven pick is the wonderfully directed film by Steven Spielberg, E.T.
Oh, very nice.
Anybody got that?
Nope.
Wow, this is the longest we've gone.
Yeah, without it is. Matches. No matches yet.
Yeah, E.T., the extraterrestrial. I remember seeing this in the movie theater back in 1982 and I remember bawling my eyes out at the end. And I still bawl my eyes out at the end when E.T. is getting on that ship. And it's because of John Williams. because of his score. It's a beautiful, beautiful score. It's mm-hmm. unmatchable. I think it's his best score he's done for a film, close to another film that I have picked that John Williams did. But yeah, there's something about E.T. I mean, he was believable. You know, the alien was absolutely believable. You know, the scene where, you know, how he just connects with Elliot, and, you know, Elliot, you know, gets drunk because E.T. gets drunk at home drinking some beer. And, you know, you don't get PG movies like, you know, what E.T. was, you know, and when E.T. dies, you know, the first time on the table, I mean, that is so heart-wrenching, with Drew Barrymore, you know, just crying and the flower dying. And it's a brilliant film. It's a brilliant film. And I think Steven Spielberg, in handling these kids, these young actors, and getting the performance that he got out of these young children is unparalleled. So yeah, that's my number 7. I've seen it over 100 times. Easy.
Nice. All right. Joe, what is your number 7?
Back to the Future. I absolutely love this movie. I just started watching it again, like yesterday. No, it was this morning, for God's sakes. Yeah, I was 13 years old when this movie came out in the theaters, and I think I saw it like 3 or 4 times in the theaters. Love it. I love the score. I was big Huey Lewis in the News fan, and just to see him and his guitar player have a cameo in the movie, I just thought it was awesome. It's again, Matt, like you were talking about earlier, it's a perfect film. It's one of those films that I can put on, or at least put on in the background, and it doesn't matter who's over, whether it's family, friends, whatever. It always, like, everybody's seen it, like, oh my God, I love this part, or oh, this was fantastic, I used to watch this when I was a kid, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, I've seen it a bunch. I love the music in it. It's fantastic. It's adventurous. It's a great, like, family adventure film. So that, because of that merit alone, that's my number, what are we on, 7? Yeah. So yep. That's it.
What a pick. What a pick.
That's a good one. All right. So my number 7 is Once Upon a Time in the West. This is Sergio Leone's masterpiece. It is an epic Western, spaghetti Western, starring Henry Fonda, Claudia Cardinale, Jason Robards, Charles Bronson. It is absolutely a masterpiece of revenge Western. And the impetus, and this is a movie that really stuck with me when I was a kid, because we watched it on, I think it was Masterpiece Theater on WGN out of Chicago. And this one was on all the time. It was one of those things we used to watch it was practically on like once a month on Sundays, and we would turn it on almost every time that it was on. And there's a scene that was the impetus of this guy's revenge, of Charles Bronson's revenge, that stuck with me, that it's an image that will always stick with me, where he's standing there with his brother standing on his shoulders. I don't want to give away too much, but it is so good. And Henry Fonda just destroys his entire image. The only person that would have been more shocking to see play this part would have been Jimmy Stewart, I suppose. But he plays such a bad guy. One of the, like, most despicable, horrible bad guys in the history of Westerns. So this is one of my favorites. It's one I grew up with watching, and you can watch it for free on Amazon Prime. So,
all right. Great Western. Oh
yeah. I love that movie. God. And so I really struggled to, you know, shift movies in and out of my top 10, but this one just had to be there. So
yeah.
Mark, what is your, we are now at number 6.
1981 Excalibur.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I like it.
Oh man, the music, the score of this film, just how big this picture felt like. I remember seeing the trailer in the movie theater for Excalibur. It's just, all they did was show this hand coming out of the lake with this beautiful sword. And I was like, I had no idea, but I loved, I just love, you know, King Arthur films and just the lores and the stories. And I think this is the best they've ever done with King Arthur. It's just such a epic, epic movie. I mean, Liam Neeson's in it. Helen Mirren is in it. It's just Patrick Stewart, no hair, don't care. He's great in it. The sword fights are great. And they really go from the very beginning with King Arthur being born to all the way to his death. It's just such a grand epic scale. And I could watch this film over and over again. John Borman is just at his peak around that time. I mean, he just did Deliverance. And then he comes out with the Excalibur. And I don't even think Excalibur did well at the box office. I don't think it did.
I don't think so. It was appreciated later, but I love it too. I love that movie.
Yeah. It's a great film. That's my number six.
All right. So, Joe, what is your number six?
I struggled with this one a lot. I felt like I had to put one of them in here. So I'm going with Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Ah, very nice.
It was a real toss-up between that and Raiders of the Lost Ark, but I've seen this 100 times. I love it. Matt and I, and Mark occasionally quote it constantly.
Constantly, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and there wasn't that many Marcus quotes in Raiders of the Lost Ark, which is why I went with this one. So,
wow.
He didn't get lost in his own museum until after, Temple of Doom. So, it's Steven Spielberg, it's George Lucas, Harrison Ford, Sean Connery. I don't feel like I have to justify this at all. No. Most of these to me are perfect movies. This, again, just like Back to the Future, I could watch this whenever I want. I could put it on in the background. Everybody's going to be into it. So absolutely love it. And you can find it on, Disney Plus, of all places.
Yeah.
And River Phoenix at the beginning. Talk about...
Love that opening.
Mimicking Harrison Ford's reaction and just talk. I mean, River Phoenix is impeccable.
And the Easter egg with the scar on his chin is just... chef's kiss right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, love that movie. It is obviously one of my favorites, too. But
And you guys didn't have that on your list.
Nope.
No.
Oh.
So, but all right. So my number six.
It hurt me that I didn't have Back to the Future and Die Hard.
Mine is Pulp Fiction. No one else.
Not on
that?
My list.
All right.
This is crazy. This is nuts.
It is crazy. I thought maybe of all my movies, this would be one that would be on somebody's, but.
I was really looking at Tarantino films, but no, it didn't make it. I think it'll be hilarious if we get through the top tens and there's no overlap.
And none of us? Yeah, that would be hilarious. Obviously Pulp Fiction is what it is. It's hard to say much about it that hasn't, but there's no world where this movie could not be in my top 10. It's obvious. It's one of my favorites. Love it. I thought when I saw it when it first came out, it was just a revelation. And I think most people felt that way. It changed film. It changed movies forever. And there were a lot of imitators in the late 90s. But it made Paul Thomas Anderson possible and maybe even Wes Anderson. A lot of filmmakers owe a lot to Tarantino. And, he's gone on to make some great movies since then, but I think this is his best. And I think his first three movies were all fantastic. And I think they're the best things he did, but this was, I think, his pinnacle, and it will go down, I think, as his real true masterpiece. So, all right. So now we are halfway through. We're at the number five spot. So Mark, what's your number five movie?
Well, here goes the streak, because I know this is on your list. Number five is 1990's Bad Influence. No, it's not on there, huh?
I don't even know what this movie... I don't think I've heard of this movie.
I know. I kind of figured you guys wouldn't know this film. This Bad Influence. It's directed by Curtis Hanson, who did L.A. Confidential. It's with Rob Lowe and James Spader. James Spader plays this yuppie, and he meets Rob Lowe, this mysterious stranger who encourages Spader to explore his dark side. He's kind of a sociopath. He does really bad things. He's a manipulator. He's a narcissist. He's debonair. He's super... Matt, you got a look on your face like... You're muted, Matt. What? What is
no,
it?
I'm trying to read it because I've never heard of this movie, and so that's all.
I just love this film.
Looking at it.
Yeah, I've seen this film over 100 times, especially when I discovered it, and I bought it, the VHS, and I wore out this fucking tape. I wore it out, and I rewatched it and rewatched it. And I just studied Rob Lowe in this film. And I just, he's so charismatic. And it's just a sexy thriller. And I want to, if I do my erotic thrillers, Bad Influence will be a part of it. If I ever do erotic thrillers. But it will be a part of it. It's just a great film. If you haven't seen it, I don't know where you can find it on. But watch it, please. Because it's a good one. It's superbly acted. And it's a great 90s, you know, like erotic thriller. It's great.
Doesn't look like it's horror, but.
It's erotic thriller.
All right.
So is Mark's an erotic thriller.
Yeah. So, Joe, what is your number five?
Here's yet another oddball of mine. Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Edgar Wright.
Didn't see that film coming.
Really?
I didn't see it coming.
Just for Mary Elizabeth Winstead alone is enough. But it's an all-star cast. Michael Cera, Kieran Culkin, Anna Kendrick, Chris Evans. The list just goes on and on and on. I find this very entertaining. It's an incredibly creative way to tell a video game type story correlation with this film. I would like to say I didn't always like this, because I know, as a matter of fact, the very first time I ever saw it, when I had no background on what the original storyline was or even who Edgar Wright was, I watched this movie and I got done with it. I was just like, that was kind of okay. I feel like I need a second watch. I've probably had several hundred watches of it since then, but I still... This, again, is a background film. I will put it on just when there's nothing else to watch, and I will throw that in, and I will always be entertained. So that you can also find on HBO Max. And again, that's 2010's Edgar Wright's Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Awesome. Yeah.
Good
I
film.
I like that movie.
Good film.
I like it. Yeah. All right. So
I would have
my number
bet
five.
Money that was in Matt's.
Oh, no. My number five is Taxi Driver. Martin Scorsese's masterpiece, starring Robert De Niro, Jodie Foster, Sybil Shepherd, Harvey Keitel. Again, this is, I think it's a perfect movie. And it has a performance by Robert De Niro that is just unbelievable. Some of the conversations, just watching him have conversations in this movie, it's just so, you feel like you're just, you almost feel self-conscious, like you're peering into somebody's privacy. You know, it's just so intimate and so well done, and it's such a Martin Scorsese masterpiece. I absolutely love this movie. I've seen it a million times, and it's one that I just, after you've seen it, you can't get it out of your head. The ending of this movie is almost horror. It's certainly horrific, and it's one, I would imagine if this movie came out today and it was produced by A24, they probably would call it horror. It's just a terrific film, and one that I think, you know, it made a huge impact on filmmaking. Could never have been made, obviously, before the rating system came out. But it's unbelievable, the movies that came out in the 70s just after the rating system was implemented. It's crazy when you consider the context and the time period. So no wonder there was such a a big, like, you know, pushed by a lot of people that movies were killing our brains and harming society. But this is one that I think has to be seen. If you haven't seen it, gotta watch it.
I still think Cybill Shepherd needed more airtime on that film, but that's just me.
All right. So, Mark, this is our number four.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. Come on.
That's my number four, too.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. Raiders of the Lost Ark. I mean, Joe, come on. You did The Last Crusade. What are you doing? What are you thinking, man? Raiders of the Lost Ark is the GOAT. So we finally had overlap.
Yeah, we finally did.
Finally.
And it was the same number, same too. One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Raiders of the Lost Ark, it's the GOAT. It's the GOAT of all Indiana Jones film. Last Crusade's great. No denying it. I'm still more of a fan of Raiders of the Lost Ark because from the beginning to the end, the fight scene underneath that airplane is so funny and so fun to watch. Indiana Jones on this beautiful white horse coming down. You know, with all the trucks and that one scene, that whole chase scene is nonstop. It's just perfect. And John Williams' score is perfect in this. Matt, help me out.
Yeah, no, I think it's Spielberg's best movie, even though next to Jaws, it's hard to, but they're right. Both very, very close. But the run he went on from Jaws, no. Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Raiders of the Lost Ark, E.T., Poltergeist, so many great movies that came out from the late 70s through the mid 80s. It just one after the next. It was just insane. Such a creative output. But Raiders, for my money, I think is probably the best of all of them. And I just absolutely love Harrison Ford in this role. It would have been so different to see Tom Selleck play that part. Yeah. Although I think he would have gotten the character down pretty well, but Harrison Ford is just, there's nobody better than him. And, I do love The Last Crusade and the second one, is almost horror.
Yeah,
really,
for sure.
But in fact, it could be, you know, we could put it in a is it horror episode probably. But I would say that the third one, though, I don't think is a perfect movie. And I've seen it so many times, I catch all kinds of mistakes in it. But it's such a comfort food kind of movie for me. I've watched it a million times, but I think Raiders is definitely, I think it in my book is a superior movie and it's so good. And I've seen it a million times too. There's just some iconic shots in this that are just, I don't know how you do it. The bar scene.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Fuck.
No, it's just, there's just set pieces galore in this, and it had such an impact on action movies, and it just announced to everyone, this is what action movies are going to be from now on. And I would imagine that without Raiders, we could list a million action movies you wouldn't have without Raiders, but
yeah.
All right. What, Joe, did you have something else to say, Mark?
No.
Okay. Joe, what is your number four movie?
My number four is 2014's Captain America Winter Soldier. And this is something I'm not going to apologize for. I've always been a big Marvel Comics fan. I've always liked Captain America to begin with. And I was a big fan of the Marvel movies once they started to become good. However, I do really appreciate the first Avenger Captain America movie. I really like it, but this is the one that I was waiting for. This is the one that really showed more of an espionage type thriller, which I appreciated so much more. And I loved bringing in the Winter Soldier into this. I thought Chris Evans did a fantastic job with this character. The action in this film is fantastic. And there's, like I said, a little bit of mystery. Plus, you got Robert Redford in it, too, which I was very enthusiastic about that one as well. So that's my, whether you like it or not, that's my number four, 2014's Captain America Winter Soldier.
It's my favorite Marvel movie. It's my favorite. Yeah. And I've seen that fight scene when Winter Soldier, hops into the car and, pulls the steering wheel all the way through that whole fight. The hand-to-hand action is flawless, and it's just so fucking good. I watch it when I just want to see it. I don't know what I said wrong. What did I say wrong?
The hand-to-hand action is just flawless. Just going to be taken out of context.
Hand-to-hand action.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Combat.
Yeah.
No, it's great. It's my favorite Marvel film. It was peak. I think I saw it like five times in the movie theater. So, yeah, loved it.
All right. We are now to number three. Let's see. So, Mark, what is your number three movie? You are muted, Mark. That was a letdown.
Oh yeah. Oh, I thought we skipped you, and your number four was Raiders of the Lost Ark. So,
right.
My apologies. My number three pick is Rain Man, directed by Barry Levinson. I saw it in the theater. I cried at the end, especially when Tom Cruise said, I'm glad that you're my brother. Glad to have you as my brother, because it was such a character arc from the beginning of the film with Tom Cruise, just a fucking asshole, swindling, dealing car salesman. He treats Dustin Hoffman horrible throughout the whole entire film, but I totally got it, because that's who he was. And I feel like I would have been the same way if I discovered a brother who had this autism and I didn't know how to deal with it. But it's just the character arc that it goes through. The acting is superb. I love Tom Cruise's performance. Dustin Hoffman doesn't go too overboard, with his performance with the autism. And it's just a great film. I love it. I watch it a lot. I even know the first monologue of Rain Man when he's talking about it's fucking EPA. Whole world's choking on smog and a corrective problem by keeping my four cars off the road. I love the film. And that's my number three.
number third.
Yeah. All right, Joe. So your number third is...
Again, from 2014. God, what a good year for movies. My number third, as Mark put it, is Whiplash, with Miles Teller and J.K. Simmons. This movie is fantastic to me. This is fucking perfect and phenomenal. I've got two kids that love jazz music, and I hope I had something to do with that. I've always loved it. I've had relatives that have been in jazz, and just when this movie came out, it was like, oh my God, I absolutely have to see it. And if it flops, I'm going to just fall apart, but it didn't. It never did. It won plenty of awards. Miles Teller is fantastic in this. I can't believe what he went through to learn the amount of drumming that he did. He's not playing absolutely everything, but he's playing a majority of it. And J.K. Simmons is just the ultimate asshole in this film. And I love it, because whenever I think, oh my God, I'm overwhelmed, I can't complete this, this is out of my wheelhouse, I think of J.K. Simmons whipping a chair at my head and I get back on track, no problem. I think this type of environment on how to learn and perfect your craft is horrible. It's despicable what J.K. Simmons puts all of these characters through. However, it does, the underlying message is, just keep being the best person you can be and then get a little bit better every day. Strive. So I love it. I can't gush about this film enough, and especially its soundtrack. So that's it.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a great film. I remember watching it for the first time, and I woke up Dylan. I think I watched it. It was like 10:30 at night. Dylan was already in bed, and I just rushed in the room. It's like, Dylan, it's like, tomorrow we're watching a really good film, and I think you're going to like it. I made her watch, and she absolutely loved it too, because I rushed to Dylan. I was like, Dylan, this is a movie that I really think you need to see, and she absolutely loved it. So yeah, great film.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right, so my number three is A Streetcar Named Desire from 1951, directed by Elia Kazan. It is starring Vivian Leigh, Marlon Brando in his big breakout performance, Kim Hunter, Carl Malden. It is just a classic. It's a masterpiece. It changed filmmaking. It changed acting forever. And it made me want to become an actor. It changed my life when I was in sixth grade and I saw this movie. I've seen it a million times since. I think Marlon Brando's performance is, it's obviously iconic. His look, the posters of him, everything. He gave rise to pretty much all of the great actors of the 70s that came out from Robert De Niro, and pretty much everyone after that really became, you know, students of Marlon Brando. And of course, James Dean and many others as well were highly influenced by him and from this movie. And of course, in terms of directors across the board were influenced by Elia Kazan, including Scorsese and many others. So this is one of my very favorite movies of all time, and I think it's just perfect. And of course, Joe and I played Stanley and what was the character's name?
Boy, I keep wanting to say Jim the Gentleman Caller, but that's Glass Menagerie.
Yeah, that was Glass Menagerie. I don't remember now, but Joe and I were both in this in college. So anyway, that was my number three. So now we are on to number two. We're getting up there. So Joe, Mark, what is your number two movie?
Well, you see it right here. You knew it was going to happen. You knew it was going to happen. I got a tattoo of a Star Wars logo, of the Empire logo. It's The Empire Strikes Back is my number two.
Excellent movie.
Favorite of all time. Yours too, or?
No. No.
Oh.
It's in my top 20. Yeah.
Oh.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, Empire Strikes Back. It's a flawless film. It's the best Star Wars film. Out of all the nine films that came out, or 10 films, I guess, with Rogue One, it is the epitome of what Star Wars was. It was not directed by George Lucas. It was Irvin Kershner. And it starts off with just a bang, and it doesn't stop. It just doesn't stop. You got Darth Vader in... I don't care about spoilers. Darth Vader revealing himself as the baddie, as the father. Oh my God. Big spoiler. When I saw this in the movie theater for the first time, I started bawling my eyes out. I could not believe it. I thought he was lying. It was the worst thing, because I'm sorry. I was born at the perfect time when Star Wars, the original A New Hope, came out. I was 5 years old. I saw it in a movie theater. I thought it was all real. I thought these characters were real. In Empire Strikes Back, I was just a little bit older, but I mean, it was still all real to me. I knew that they were actors, but it was still all just real. Yeah, Joe.
You know now that they're actors, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I know that.
Just checking.
Kind of. But I'll tell you something. When I watch those films, I don't see Harrison Ford anymore. I don't see Mark Hamill or Carrie Fisher. I see these characters. I see Han Solo. I see Luke Skywalker. And Empire is just beautifully made. It's wonderful to watch. It's got a terrifying ending. It's all hope is lost, and it leads into a lot of Muppets in Return of the Jedi, but it's still Return of the Jedi is good. But it's Empire Strikes Back is just wonderful. Yoda, for God's sakes.
Yeah, no, it's the masterpiece, I think, of the entire series. Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Had to get Star Wars in there somehow.
Yeah, of course. So let's see. So Joe's number two movie.
2017's Baby Driver. Again, music in a film. Yeah.
Not surprised at all, Joe. Should be,
really. Music in a film is extremely important to me, and this is, in my opinion, a masterpiece simply because whenever you hear music, it seems like the entire film, the actors are hearing the music along with it, and things happen with the beats. I think that is a tremendous feat. That's got to be extremely difficult to actually get that timed perfectly on film, and I tip my hat to, again, Edgar Wright, but I love the acting. Kevin Spacey is one of my favorite characters in this film. There's plenty of action. There's great driving. It's a wonderful love story. You want to root for Ansel Elgort all throughout the film, even though he's the bad guy, or a bad guy technically. But and you can see that on Netflix whenever you want.
Nice.
Yeah, excellent. great film. I when I saw that in a movie theater with Dylan, it was the first time Dylan and I ever returned to the theater the next day to rewatch it. And it was a really great bonding experience with my daughter.
And by the way, Matt, to answer your question, the other character that I played in Streetcar Named Desire was Mitch.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So my number two favorite movie, Amadeus. From 1984, Milos Forman directed, starring F. Murray Abraham, Tom Hulce, Elizabeth Berridge. It is Jeffrey Jones, of course, plays the bumbling emperor. This movie, I remember seeing this with my brother, and I probably saw it in the theater like five times after. I loved this movie. I was like,
wow.
I didn't know anything about it. My brother was like, we got to go see this. And I was like, okay, fine. And at first I was like, I think I'm going to be, I didn't know what I was getting into, but I loved it and I kept coming back. It was, and of course I've owned several copies from VHS to DVD to Blu-ray to whatever. And it is, I think, an absolutely perfect movie. There are elements of gothic horror in it as well, in a sort of Edgar Allan Poe kind of way, that kind of similar to The Cask of Amontillado, where it's a guy trying to drive somebody crazy, basically, and to drive them to death. And work him to death. And so it, I just love this movie, the back and forth between F. Murray Abraham and that last scene with Salieri and Mozart, where Mozart's basically on his deathbed and Salieri's driving him to finish this death mass, is just, I think it's absolutely perfect. It's breathtaking, gives me the goosebumps when I see it. So this is, between this and my number one, it could have gone either way, because sometimes I think this might be my favorite movie ever made, but non-horror at least, and certainly one of my favorite movies ever made. So
remember like a month ago when I said, hey, the like director's cut or the extended edition was on Netflix, and it's like 3 hours long. Because all we do is ever watch horror movies. Today I finally finished it. So I was watching, I just wrapped up Amadeus like half an hour before we started.
Oh, wow. Oh. That's funny.
Yeah. I didn't even know there was a uncut.
Oh yeah. It's been
three hours long.
Yeah. It's been out for a while, but
I'd watch that. It's a great film, it's but Matt, can you do the laugh?
No, I can't. I can't get my voice that high. Yeah. All right. So now We are on to our favorite move, non-horror movie. So, Mark, what is your number one?
I just want to be clear about this. My favorite my favorite movie of all time is Jaws. I just have to say that because I feel like I'm cheating.
We know that.
It's. Yeah. I feel like I'm cheating.
The point is non-horror movies.
I know, but I feel like I'm. I still feel like I'm cheating, and I just wanted Jaws to know that you're my baby. You think it's coming, but it's not. It ain't Top Gun, boys. It is True Romance.
Okay.
No, I'm not shocked.
True Romance. Yeah, Top Gun is like 11. It couldn't get in the top 10. I know I'm a big fan, but I realize with Top Gun, I only watch the action scenes and, you know, the flying, and I do turn it off. Scene. It's a great love scene, man. It's a great love scene. He made a fucking paper plane.
Yeah.
Playing with this great. I mean, ugh, Top Gun is so fucking good. But when he like makes a paper airplane on the pillow and leaves it, I mean, that is just a fucking that's a move, man.
It's a douche move.
No, it's an absolute move.
He's got a lot of douche moves in this movie, by the way. Him serenading at the beginning is a douche move.
What are you talking about? That's a great move. It's just it's such a great move. And then he had the whole crew fucking get in there. That is a move. That's a great fucking move.
I was so happy when they stopped playing that song on the radio.
Oh, I know. I was like, can we get past this?
Every time I turned it. Oh, God, yeah.
No, it's great.
All right, no, we're not making fun. Go ahead, Mark.
when he follows, you know, like her into the bathroom, and he's just like testing out the. All right, this is kind of suitable. Come on, it's great. It's great. Maverick's great. If I had a boy, his name would have been Maverick. Just so you know, but that's not my favorite film. My favorite film is True Romance, and it's directed by Tony Scott. It's got a wonderful cast in this. And when I saw this in a movie theater, I don't know if it was Thanksgiving break, but I had to go to my god sister's wedding, and I took this girl that I was dating, Jenny from St. Ambrose, back home, and we had time to kill, and I saw the trailer on the TV. And I was like, hey, do you want to see True Romance? Well, this ended our relationship, I think, because after I walked out of this film, I couldn't even speak. We were driving to a car to a friend's house, and she's going, are you okay? And I said, I just need to process this movie. It was like so much for me. I fell in love with this film from the very start when Christian Slater began his monologue, and it's the jailhouse rock was everything a rockabilly's about. No, I mean, he is a rockabilly, mean, surly, nasty, rude. I mean, in this movie, he didn't give a fuck about nothing. He was a rock and roll, living fast, dying young, living a good looking corpse, you know. And it's just, I know this film by fucking heart, and all the way through. You got Brad Pitt. You got James Gandolfini. You have Dennis Hopper. You have Bronson Picnic, you know, Balky. He's great in this. Michael Rappaport. It was like his first film that made him big. You got Christopher Walken. Brad Pitt, didn't I? Floyd?
Did you? Yeah.
He smoked the last.
Yeah, he said Brad Pitt.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Patricia Arquette's great. And that scene with James Gandolfini and Patricia Arquette is so fucking violent, and especially the uncut version. By the way, I've had this VHS. I've had it Blu-ray. I had it Laserdisc. I had it at DVD. I had it all sorts of material. This film just capitalized me. And of course, Gary Oldman, the pimp scene, who Drexel is one of the, I think, one of the most fun, great fights. I must have seen it over 1,000 times. I just rewind it, just set it to the scene and just rewatch it. I know that scene by heart. But it's a great movie. I love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. True Romance. It's my number two favorite film of all time after Jaws.
All right. So, Joe, what is your number one?
This will come as a shock to no one that knows me, but 1997's Gross Point Blank. I've always been a huge John Cusack film. This movie actually has three Cusacks in it and an Alan Arkin, which Alan Arkin is just the most hilarious character in this entire show. Dan Aykroyd, Hank Azaria, Jeremy Piven, and Benny the Dragon Urquidez is in it. Big kickboxer. And I love it. I've seen it a bajillion times. I watch it countless times a month, I would say. Again, this is something I could put on in the background. However, I can't ignore certain scenes. If it's just like playing, I don't care what's going on. I have to stop and focus all my energy when Martin Blank is fighting with Benny Urquidez in the high school and kills him. And from that all the way until Martin Blank confesses what he does to Debbie Newberry. And that scene, I think they should teach that in acting class, because I know this is a comedy, but I get choked up every time Martin Blank confesses to what he actually does. I just feel so bad for him. Like, he has nowhere to go. He's trying to justify that he's a killer for a living and try to explain to her that it's okay, but it's really not. It's, you've backed yourself way too far into a corner, but I can't praise this movie enough. I don't know where you can watch this. I don't really care. I watch it all the time. I've got it on VHS. I've got it on DVD, Blu-ray. And then I just, like a couple months ago, bought it on digital, and it's always on my phone, 'cause I don't want to be more than like 5 minutes away from ever being able to watch it. So that's my number one.
Yeah. And we're watching it up at the cabin.
We most certainly
really are. Soon. And, nice. And that one scene, Joe, that you're talking about, and when Minnie Driver says, "You don't get to have me." It's like fucking brutal. Brutal. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. It's such a good film.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a great movie. That is a great movie.
It's my favorite John Cusack film, for sure.
It's probably my second or third, but yeah.
What's your first?
It will be on my honorable mentions list, actually.
Ooh, yeah. Sorry.
So my number one. And this probably won't be a surprise to anyone either, is The Godfather. Another great. I have three Marlon Brando movies on my list, but again, Marlon Brando, I just, you know, loved.
We
Marlon
knew.
Brando.
We knew always that was happening. Brando.
And so obviously this is Francis Ford Coppola's 1972 masterpiece. Marlon Brando, Al Pacino, James Caan, Robert Duvall, Diane Keaton, Talia Shire. It's just, the list goes on and on. Such a great movie. The story behind it is even more interesting. How Francis Ford Coppola fought for everything that he got in this movie. And he really, this has a narrative economy that, even though it's over or close to 3 hours long, if not 3 hours long, it's a close to 3 hours long. It zips along. It's just such a great, great movie. And this is one. A lot of these movies are the kind that if I'm turning around the channels, which I don't have cable anymore, but back when I had cable, if I was turning around the channels and one of these movies was on, that would be what I would be doing the rest of that night. Like, I would just, that you can't stop watching it. And The Godfather, no matter what part of the movie it's in, I will be like, oh, well, this scene's coming up, I got to watch that. And then you wind up, you just keep going. The hospital scene when Marlon Brando is in there and Michael goes there to save him. is just, it's such a great, it's almost the pacing of it and the look of it and the feel of it is almost like a horror movie, that one scene, but it's so epic, but yet personal as well. I think it's Francis Ford Coppola's best movie. Godfather Part Two is a great movie too. And certainly, you know, putting the two together, it's hard to beat. But this one, I think, is the best. And part of that is because I just love and adore Marlon Brando. So, all right. Well, those were our favorite movies. And I think we had some good ones. We all had our own personality.
I am not shocked at all with just how different all three of our lists were.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, there was only one overlap.
Yeah. And only of course one. It was Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
And I got to admit, it was touch and go on which Raiders, which Indiana Jones I was going to pick. It was almost.
I had a feeling you were going to do Last Crusade. And I would have too, because I do really love that movie, but I just feel Raiders it was the one that started it all for me. And I just think it's a better movie, but I agree. I love Last Crusade as well. Yeah. Joe, I know you went so far as to go into your top 20. Maybe touch on the rest of your top 20.
Okay, I'll start with 20. I'm just skimming these. So my number 20 is Kevin Smith's Dogma. My 19 is the best baseball movie ever made, which is The Natural. Number 18, When Harry Met Sally, because the dialogue is just spectacular. Number 17, Blues Brothers. I was brought up on that soundtrack.
Fuck me. That was rough.
Yeah. 16, Blazing Saddles. It's the only Western I'll ever watch. 15 is Empire Strikes Back. 14, Shawshank Redemption. 13, Dark Knight. 12, Fight Club. And number 11, That Thing You Do.
Oh, nice.
Oddball list.
I actually did 25.
of course you did. actually, 25. I categorized every movie I've ever seen.
It was that much shuffling around going on. 25, Jackie Brown. 24, my favorite John Cusack movie, High Fidelity. The only reason I'm actually saying 25 was so that I could say High Fidelity, but High Fidelity any of these could have been in my top 10. You have to make selections. Number 23, Badlands. Number 22, The Black Stallion.
Oh, fuck. That's a good one.
It could have easily been in there. 21, All That Jazz. Number 20, Miller's Crossing. Number 19, Caddyshack. Probably my favorite comedy.
Yeah, I know.
Number 18, Unforgiven. 17, When Harry Met Sally.
Yes.
16, there's an overlap.
Yep. 16, Raging Bull. Number 15, The Royal Tenenbaums. Number 14, Breaking Away.
Yeah,
That one
good movie.
Lingered in my top 10 spot for a while. Number 13, It's a Wonderful Life. 12, The King of Comedy. And number 11, 2001, A Space Odyssey. So, yeah.
Mark, did you scribbled up anything?
I scribbled. Joe said the best baseball movie ever, The Natural. I don't agree with that at all. It's Bull Durham. That's on my list. Shawshank Redemption. 1984, The Bounty with Mel Gibson. And I forgot his name. Hannibal Lecter. Anthony Hopkins. Holy Anthony fuck. Hopkins,
yeah.
Yeah. Have you guys ever seen? Yes. No. No, I thought you were about to say.
Joe's joking.
I thought he was going to say Liam Neeson. Neeson's it. Have you guys ever seen The Bounty?
No.
Yeah.
You didn't like it?
No, not really.
Yeah, I love that film. Gross Point Blank. When Harry Met Sally, Back to the Future, But yeah, I mean, we could have easily overlapped if we did like top 20.
Oh, Airplane. I'm sure we would have. Yeah.
A fucking Airplane. Oh yeah. My
Airplane
God.
Airplane could be up there for sure.
Yes. Yeah, same with Caddyshack.
Goodfellas. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. In the Name of the Father is another one I absolutely love, and that's one that one's kind of almost sort of a forgotten movie now, and I loved that movie,
which is crazy. That's a great film.
Oh, so great!
A lot of people don't even talk about My Left Foot, and that's a great fucking great film.
Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Love yeah, it. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I think Life of Brian's funnier.
Yeah, I mean they're both great, but I have a, you know, a personal affection for the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
Rear Window could easily have been on my list too. And
yeah. That's horror, isn't it?
Well, I guess technically it suspense, sort of would be maybe. It's suspense, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Vertigo, maybe probably the same thing. So
this was hard. This was hard for at least Matt and I. Joe kept on saying, suck it up, ladies.
Yeah.
Now, I did that. This was just as difficult for me. It's just I was already done. So when it's done, it's really easy to look back.
Mark, Joe has no sentimentality about it at all. He's just like, screw it.
Suck it up, ladies.
Mark acts like he's like killing, like making Sophie's Choice, and he's killing one of his kids
by
choosing them.
It was
somewhere in between.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is it for this time. The next episode is going to be our 100th episode. And Joe, do you want to explain to the audience what it is we're doing for our 100th episode? Or no?
Sure. Yeah, I figure why not?
All right.
That's what they're going to hear in 2 weeks.
Should we?
So
right.
We are going to do... We are going to do a horror trivia battle royale. It's a cage match starring all three of us. And thank you, Mr. Nesbitowski, for helping us out. He's going to kind of be our scorekeeper for us. But the way this is going to go is each of us are coming up with our top 25 or just a list of 25 horror questions that can be anything horror related or anything Sinner Scare related. And so like, for example, when I read my questions, it's for Matt and Mark. Mark will read his for me and Matt, and so on and so forth, until everybody's asked their questions and answered 50 other questions. And then whoever has the most is ringleader champion for the day.
Yep.
So,
yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. And Brian, you know, having him here is always great. He's going to help us make fun of Mark. And
we're going to have everything nice and legal and above board. Yep. So
He'll make sure.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. There's no fucking cheating in this fucking thing. I swear to God. It's like, this is what I'm talking like. I'm already like getting upset because you guys are going to fuck with me. And you know, hang on. Listen. When you say an answer if you do a question, there's no adding on things to the end where if I go Mark, if I know the fucking answer, then you can't add shit onto the end. You can't rig this shit, okay?
I promise not to add anything to the end of my questions.
My questions are just fine. Just ask Matt. I sent him all of them. He looked at them. He thought they were fine.
All right.
Yeah. I thought his
good. This is what I'm fucking talking about.
Yeah.
Mark, you can phrase the questions the same way we phrase the questions every other trivia time. If my question is.
Rig it.
We're not rigging it. We're just proactively adjusting our questions because of the way that you jump in and answer before you even hear the whole question. Well, then just be patient. Let somebody finish talking. See, you do this now. I'm trying to explain the rules, and you're jumping ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have any coffee that day.
I'm getting penalized if I know the answer to it and I want to jump in and get it, you know, before Matt does or if Joe does, then I'm getting penalized for it because you guys are going to fuck with the question at the
end.
Well,
this is why we have friend of the show, Brian, here. He's going to make sure everything's above board. Everything's
he's reliable. By the rules. He's so reliable.
Sure. He's always very, very conscious of.
Let's get Catherine Horan to do this. Yeah, fuck Brian. Brian's going to fuck with me too.
Sorry, and Catherine. We already have Brian lined up. He's ready. He's set aside time in his schedule. And he's studied up on all the rules. So he knows what he's supposed to be doing.
Is he taking a day off of work?
he's been practicing all week on how to count to three.
All right. Well, hopefully everybody's enjoying their summer.
We hired an
idiot. I know Joe and I have been, and Mark, and we've all been enjoying our summer quite a bit. Joe and Mark were at the lake, and I'm saying all this in past tense, but and I can't remember. I think during this time I'll be in Chicago. I don't remember now. But all right. So I guess we will see you next time.
Episode 100, boys and girls.
See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
We've got a death curse.
It was a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
This is senseless fear.
My number third. Three. Third.